Yes, we're back, baby. Technical Knockout, the Hardcore Casual MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Hussein. With me, as always, my co-host, Jordan Patrick James. We're talking about UFC 297 today. It's going to be a good one. You got Strickland versus Du Plessis. You got Raquel Pennington versus Marbo Silva. You got a couple other good fights. People don't care about the co-main event, but we do, and that's why you watch us, because we give a shit. All right, let's do it, guys. Let's get into it.
Oh, we got some bad blood coming up in this main event, baby.
The day has come
The
that we
day
get
of
a title
reckoning.
fight in middleweight without Robert Whittaker or Israel Adesanya in it. It's insane. People didn't think it would happen. It's been years, and now we're getting it. Strickland, Sean Strickland versus Dricus du Plessis, people that nobody gave a shit about 2 years ago, are at the top of the division, and they're fighting each other this weekend, and I'm really excited for it. These guys have been on each other's shit lists for a good few months. It feels like genuine bad blood that they actually don't like each other. I get the sense that Strickland doesn't like a lot of people, but Du Plessis tends to be sort of a class act and kind of playing the heel in this card, in this fight, rather. So I'm pretty excited to see how it all shakes out from a stylistic standpoint. It's a very interesting fight. You've got the cardio kickboxer trademark, Sean Strickland, who has great pressure, great boxing, great kickboxing, and stays on the front foot the whole fight, versus Dricus du Plessis, who is a aggressive wild man with a shit ton of power in his hands and great wrestling and great jujitsu. And it's a very interesting fight, and I'm excited to see what happens. What do you think, Jordan? Who you got?
I don't know, because that's the thing. I think this is genuine bad blood, and I think that if this was just a regular fight with a more composed Sean Strickland, I would, go with him all day, because I like that measured kind of 70% persistent effort, just solid everywhere. But I think if he comes into this a little bit rattled, a little bit more emotional, I think he could run into one of those power shots that you were saying, or he could get caught with that a quick blitz and get put on the back foot, early. But this could just be a more fo this could make him a more focused, Sean Strickland. I'm not sure. We know that he's a very emotional fighter, and I think this is gonna be the first time seeing how he deals with, obviously being. Put how he has, Dricus is obviously in his head. I think his nonchalant Strickland's nonchalant attitude can get into people's heads. So I think this is the first time we've seen somebody really get under his skin, as we've seen in a lot of the podcasts lately with him and Theo Vaughn. Yeah, it's interesting. I hate that we're talking about it. I hate that that's what we're seeing, but maybe this is something that pushes Sean to the next level. I'm not sure. Maybe this is a healthy way for him to deal with his trauma, and then we get a I don't know. I'm not sure. I know I hate that I'm excited. I hate that this has helped sell me on this, because I know this just goes against everything we were saying on the TKO news a couple episodes ago. But I know I would like to see Sean win. I would like to see Sean Strickland win. That's my where my heart's at. What
Yeah,
about
I
you?
mean, I like both fighters, man. I mean, as far as in the cage goes, I like both of their styles. I kind of it's hard for me to really picture Dricus du Plessis knocking out Sean Strickland. You know what I mean? Strickland is like what, like 8-2 at middleweight, and the two fights he lost, he got knocked out by Alex Pereira, which that happens to people. They fight Alex Pereira, they get knocked out, and he lost a very, very, very close fight with Jared Cannonier, a fight that I thought he lost, don't get me wrong, but it was a very competitive fight, and every round was razor thin. Honestly, one of the closest fights I've ever seen, that fight, Strickland versus Cannonier, up there with like Dillashaw versus Cruz and Mighty Mouse versus Hudo, the second one. But that being said, yeah, Strickland's had immense success at middleweight. And you gotta think that his confidence is at all time high after beating the shit out of Israel Adesanya like that. And you can say the same for Du Plessis after knocking out Robert Whittaker like he did. But it's hard for me to picture Du Plessis really finishing Strickland, and it's very hard for me to picture him winning a decision against Strickland. I think if the fight goes to the fifth round, you're gonna see Strickland have a very dominant fourth and fifth round. So if he wins one of the first three rounds, he could win a decision. And he might even be able to get a late knockout against Du Plessis, because we've seen Du Plessis look very, very tired in his three-round fights.
He hasn't had one in a five-round.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he had one in EFC before he got to UFC. I mean, I'm sure he's had a five-round fight at some point in his career. Let me see. Okay, he's never been in the fourth round. I'm looking at his record now. Guy's never seen a fourth round. Strickland lives in the fourth round.
In the fourth round. He loves those deep water fights.
Yeah, and you know, I think it'd be a good bet to put for Strickland to win by knockout over 2.5 rounds. That's probably what I'm gonna pick as far as like a good prop. But I do expect the fight to go a little bit longer. I do expect Strickland to have success as the fight runs on. If Du Plessis can win the first three rounds and survive the fourth and fifth, we might be looking at a Du Plessis decision, but I just feel like that's so out of the ordinary. I don't know if he's ever even won a decision. He's won one decision in his career, and that was against Brad Tavares, who's notoriously hard to finish. So, I mean, we'll see. You know, Du Plessis could come out here and just fucking wrestle Strickland into the dirt, you know? We haven't seen Strickland fight a strong wrestler in a long time. You know, last time he fought one that I can remember is against Kamaru Usman, and Usman had his way with him in that fight. You know, obviously that was at 170. That was years ago, so Strickland's improved immensely since then. But, you know, that's just the last time I can even think of him fighting a wrestler.
Yeah, so when's the last time we've seen him do a whole lot of wrestling?
Yeah, not very often.
And, that could be a very realistic path for victory. You know, even if it's, you know, say we have Sean going for the kill early, and, you know, Drick is focusing on getting those takedowns and getting, you know, early points on the board, getting some early rounds just by virtue of, oh, I took him down two times. You know, I got a little bit of ground and pound, you know.
Yeah,
that
I
could
mean,
save or, some of the, that would be his, that would be his best bet too. Save some of that gas tank a little bit, you know, if he hasn't, you know, because yeah, I can't. I would say if we see Drickus knock him out, Sean out, it would be like early by Sean getting in bad position, and then Drickus just getting a, you know, into a position of TKO, you know, criteria. I would say he has to wrestle him for sure. Honestly,
yeah,
I think that's his. We'll see how he goes. He might try to play the macho game with him.
Yeah, I mean, he could chin him. I mean, you know, Strickland got knocked out by Pereira, but again, Pereira is like one of the hardest hitters. But you know, Du Plessis hits very hard too. He could just catch him on the chin at some point, but it's hard for me to really picture that happening. I do see Strickland having some success on the feet with the jabs, with the pressure, with the, you know, the front kick to the body that he loves. And as the fight wears on, I do think Du Plessis is going to get worse and worse for wear. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Strickland get a late finish or a lopsided decision victory.
Yeah, I think I'm going to side with Strickland money line on this one. I'm going to get my betting slip started on this one. I definitely got Strickland money line.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised to see Drickus win. It wouldn't be a huge surprise. Like, you know, it would be a bit of a surprise, I guess. But, you know, I see paths to victory for him. Yeah. Especially if he plays the wrestling game and he's playing it like cerebrally. He has a chance to win, but I guess the smart money for me would be on Strickland money line.
Yeah. I think Strickland's the brain bet, you know. But that being said, Du Plessis's so athletic, he's so powerful, he could get it done. We'll see how it happens. This is a fight that I'm
and it is, it is the middleweight or the middleweight division. It's in a bit of a chaos right now, so who knows?
Yeah, I mean, with Strickland as the champion, it's hard for it not to be chaotic, right? Even if everything was in order. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm really excited for the fight. I think it is a true pick'em fight. I believe the odds have it as such. And I'm probably going to lay it down on Strickland over 2.5. You know, even
right now UFC has Strickland as a favorite.
Oh, what's the betting line?
They got it at -130.
Oh yeah. That's a very slight favorite. You know, I think that's fair. The odds on Du Plessis coming back at +110, pretty enticing, but you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But yeah, going down the card, we have Raquel Pennington versus Myra Bueno Silva. These gals are fighting for Amanda Nunes' vacant women's bantamweight belt, which is pretty awesome to see. You know, the division's going to start moving forward now. I do think that these are the two best fighters in the weight class, so I'm happy to see them fighting for the belt rather than Juliana Pena or Holly Holm on name value. Yeah, as far as the stylistic matchup goes, this is a fight that everybody's been talking shit about, man. They don't care about this fight. The UFC doesn't care about this fight. Even Marvel and Silva said, like, I know fans don't care about this fight, but this is
the
fight.
I think it has the potential to steal the show, I'll tell you what, right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to breed for an exciting matchup because Raquel Pennington has great boxing, and she has great clinch defense and, you know, just general clinches on the cage. And Mara Buena Silva is a very slick grappler and has some decent kicking on the feet. So I think we're going to see a very interesting clash of styles. And if Raquel can bully Mara Buena Silva in the clinch and, you know, kind of like put the pressure on her, she could have some great success. But I think the more likely outcome is that Mara Buena Silva fights an all the way in, all the way out game. And either is landing kicks on the outside at safe distance or is in a pressure clinch against the fence type of position or on top on the ground and landing ground and pound or going for submission attempts. I am going to go with Mara Buena Silva in this fight. I love Raquel Pennington. I think she's a very, an awesome fighter, a very well-rounded fighter. I'd love to see her win. I think it'd be a great feel-good story for, you know, a fighter like her who's been in the UFC for so damn long and has had ups and downs and ups and downs. To finally, you know, realize gold, it'd be up there with, like, the Bisping win, Charles Oliveira, Rafael Dos Anjos, Robbie Lawler, these kind of fighters who have been in the UFC for so long, you never thought they would get to a title, and here they are, and they have this performance. I'd love to see that for Raquel Pennington. But my mind is telling me that Mara Buena Silva is just a little bit too explosive, a little bit too skilled. And is going to be able to find Raquel's neck or arm in a position that she doesn't expect it and catch that submission at some point in the fight. What do you think, Jordan? Who you got?
I think my mind is telling me no, but my body is telling me yes. I'm going to go with Raquel Pennington. You know, like you said, I got that feel good. We had Jim Millard coming on it, so I got that feel good. I think the mind, I said, like you said, would probably go with Silva. But I'd like to see her get it done. I'd like to see her get it done in spectacular fashion to where, like I said, that steals the show. That's my main hope for this, is that that really steals the show. You know, maybe not take away from the main event, but, you know, really, you know, give it some life. I mean, we got Neil, not to get to it already, we got Neil Magny, you know, right below that. So we know that that's going to be a kind of slow fight. So maybe this is an opportunity for this co-main event to really get the crowd going before, you know, a contentious main event. So I think this is a really good chance, especially with these two ladies, for the women's bantamweight division to start getting a little bit more attention since the belt has been vacated by such a dominant champion.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the division move forward. You got people like Irene Aldana, Ketlin Vieira, Juliana Pena, Misha Tate's back, Holly Holmes there. You know, we'll see how women's bantamweight shakes out, man. It's definitely not as good as women's flyweight or strawweight. But it's a more interesting division than people give it credit for, I think. But yeah, let's go down the card more. We got Neil Magny versus Mike Malott. This is a very interesting matchup with the Canadian prospect Mike Malott taking on the consummate veteran in Neil Magny. I think this is this might be one of those instances of too much too soon for Malott. I feel like Magny is a very live dog in this fight at plus 360 or whatever they have him at. Mike Malott, if you're not familiar, has great submission, power in his hands. He's a very strong striker, and he's coming off of two submission victories where he was able to either knock the guy down against Johan Lennis or drag him down to the mat against Adam Fugit and get the submission there. So the dude is pretty well-rounded, all things considered. He's 3-0 in the UFC now with three finishes. He's fighting Neil Magny, who is, you know, notably hard to finish. And typically, if you do have a finish over him, it's because you have great jiu-jitsu, great top pressure, great leg kicks, great power in your hands. These are things that Mike Malott possesses. But what gives me some pause to pick him is that he kind of tends to fall into the clinch sometimes. And that is where Neil Magny makes, great fighters look average and average fighters look bad, is in his clinch. So if Neil is able to work that clinch, if he's able to get the fight to the ground and kind of make it an ugly fight, kind of make it a dog fight, I think he can have some great success in the second and third round. I think that first round is going to be a tough one for him because Malott is a fast starter and Neil Magny's a slow starter. So we'll see how it shakes out. Malak could get an early finish or, you know, beat the shit out of him like Ian Garry did not too long ago. But I do think that Neil Magny is a live dog in this fight. I think if the fight goes on longer, it's going to play into his hand. So we'll see what happens, you know. I'm excited for this fight, though, either way.
Yeah, I would probably go with Neil Magny just for the value of it as far as from a betting perspective. And then just from what we always say as well, like, you know, death, taxes, and Neil Magny by decision. And that's always a very safe bet. Or I would even say this going to decision would probably be a safe bet. What gives me pause is, you know, this being in Toronto and so many Canadians being on the card.
Oh, shit, is it?
Yeah, so I usually like to, you know, consider some kind of round robin and parlay with the hometown crowd. So you have a lot of Canadians on this. This might be the one that I don't pick a Canadian on there. I might pick Neil Magny by decision and then throw Mike Malott in the round robin just for that to maybe leverage that a little bit. What do you think?
I think that's a good move to go by. I'd probably go Malott by finish if you're going to bet on him, because I think the money line is a little steep for me. I didn't realize that this fight was in Toronto. That makes me side with Malott a lot more. Malott. yeah, because Neil Magny is a guy that kind of tends to crash under the bright lights sometimes. We've seen it happen to him before. When, you know, he's fighting a big name on a big stage, he tends to kind of not show up. And, you know, although Mike Malott's not a big name, he is in Canada. They fucking love him over there, dude. So I might side with Malott by finish now that I have that piece of information. In the Apex, I go Neil Magny all day. But yeah, so that's an interesting fight. You could go either way on it, but yeah, I think I think we broke it down pretty accurately. If Malott can get early success, he might be able to get a finish. If Neil Magny can drag the fight down early, then he might be able to just win a decision, like you said. I think Neil Magny by decision is a good underdog pick here. And then next we have Chris Curtis versus Marc-Andre Barriol. I really love this fight. I think this is a great matchup at middleweight. Marc-Andre Barriol is a phenomenal wrestler and has pretty decent power in his hands, but he's been chinned before. If I'm not mistaken, he got knocked out by Chidi Njokwani in like 16 seconds, and then got submitted by Anthony Hernandez in the third round, which happens because Anthony Hernandez is an absolute dog in that third round and is his best, you know, that's where he shines, isn't late in the fight. But Marc-Andre Barriol is coming off two victories, fights that he looked really good into. But he draws Chris Curtis in this fight, who is a tough son of a bitch, man. Curtis is hard to wrestle. You saw that in the Phil Hawes fight. You saw that in the Brendan Allen fight. And he has huge power in his hands and can find those shots well. So Malott, as somebody who's been, you know, finished late in the fight before, as somebody who's been knocked out before, I do think that Curtis has a great chance in this fight to make it happen again. He is a good anti-wrestler, and as the fight goes on, he draws more strength and, you know, finds his shots very well against Kelvin Gastelum. He looked great in the third round. You know, just in general, he turns it up as the fight goes on. So I'm going to go with Chris Curtis here. Might be a little bit of a heart pick because I do love Curtis, but I like Curtis by knockout in this fight.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to throw this back. And like I said, I think this is just going to go into my Canada round robin and just bet on the Canadians on this one. I think it's going to be an exciting fight, though. I'm excited to see Chris Curtis. I love seeing his fights.
Yeah, his style is really interesting to watch.
It's very entertaining. It's a good pick him as well.
And now we have a featherweight fight, which I feel like is kind of buried in this card to start off the main card.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Well, I mean, it's kicking it off. So, I mean, that's true. This, I mean, that's not, I would you rather be, you know, first or right in the middle where it's kind of, so I it's, mean, it's a good chance. I would prefer to be, you know, the kickoff rather than like, you know, the next card after the kickoff, right?
That's true. The first fight on the pay-per-view is the one that gets a lot of views. But, you know, and I understand putting the hometown hero in Mike Malott right before the title fights. I get it. But this is a fantastic matchup between two top 10 featherweights. And honestly, title implications in this fight for sure. Arnold Allen versus Movsarov Loev. Movsarov Loev, great, great, great grappler. Phenomenal jiu-jitsu, phenomenal positional grappling where he'll take the position over the submission, but he will find a submission if you give one hit to him. He's fighting Arnold Allen, who is a long, lanky boxer coming out of Britain, and also has a very slick submission game when the fight gets there. Allen's not necessarily the wrestling type, and he tends to fade as the fight goes on a bit. But this is a 3-round fight, and I think we're looking at a very clear-cut victory for Arnold Allen, in my opinion. I think Arnold Allen's going to be able to defend the early takedowns from Movsar and just give him looks on the feet that he hasn't seen yet. Ovilov has fought some great fighters, but he hasn't fought a lanky striker like the caliber of Arnold Allen. I'm a big fan of Arnold Allen. I think he's a very well-rounded fighter, and for a long time I was calling for him to get to the title. Before we saw guys like Topuria start to, you know, emerge in the featherweight division, Arnold Allen has always been a very, silent contender there. He drew Max Holloway in his last fight and had a very close fight with him. And, you know, obviously Holloway is, you know, a force to be reckoned with at featherweight. He's only lost to Volkanovski. And I'd like to think that Arnold Allen probably gained some great experience from fighting Holloway and learned a lot in that fight. And I think he's going to use some of those tools. We saw, like, for example, Brian Ortega after he fought Holloway, after he got beat the shit out of by Holloway, he went and had that great performance against Korean Zombie. Calvin Kattar, after getting beat up by Holloway, had that great performance against Giga Chikadze. And I think we're going to see Arnold Allen have a great performance against Movsar Evloev. I think it'll probably end up being a decision victory for him if he wins the first, second round and then loses the third on the wrestling. That's how I see this fight playing out. I'm going to go with Allen by decision.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think you're right. I think Allen's going to... I'm excited to see how much he's evolved since that Holloway fight. I'm sitting here seeing, like, 1992 and trying to remember who he last fought. He did look good in that Max Holloway fight.
Yeah.
So you're saying the O's got to go over there for Masvidal, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like, you know, he's had some good fights in the UFC for sure, but I don't think he's fought anybody of the caliber of Arnold Allen, and I think Allen's going to not... Exposes is a strong word, you know what I mean? But Evloev is really not that big of a finisher. He's more of a decision fighter. I mean, he's caught some submissions early in his career, but in the UFC, it's been all decisions. So I do think that Allen is, a stronger fighter out of the gate. And I think the striking is really going to be a big difference in this matchup. So I'm going with Allen, yeah. But yeah. Going to the prelims, there's some really interesting fights on this prelim card. We got Brad Katona versus Garrett Armfield. Brad Katona just coming off of the second Ultimate Fighter that he won in rare air with Jesse Taylor, that he won two Ultimate Fighter seasons. What's it called? Katona is a great wrestler, pretty solid pot shotter on the feet, not really much by way of power, but knows how to pick his shots and is very composed and patient. He's fighting out of SBG Ireland. He's fighting Garrett Armfield, who is a great boxer. Maybe not the best takedown defense or the best grappling, but the dude has hands and he has power. And Katona has shown a little bit of vulnerability by way of his chin before. So I think this is a very interesting matchup of striker versus grappler. Katona is the Canadian, so they're doing this for the Canadian audience. It's hard for me to really pick a fighter in this matchup because I think either guy can have great success. But Armfield is the underdog. I think Katona should win. He should be able to wrestle him and fight a composed fight and win by decision. That's how I would pick him if he's going to win. But I can see Armfield catching that chin and knocking him out. That being said, they are doing it in Canada, so the Canadian crowd is going to be behind Katona. I'm gonna make the executive decision. I'm going to go with Katona by decision. I think that's my pick for this fight.
Like I said, I'm grouping my Canadians together, baby. Oh, Canada.
Yeah. Oh, Canada. next is a fight that I do think is favored towards the Canadian. This is Charles Jourdain versus Sean Woodson. Sean Woodson, a very long, lanky dude, loves throwing knees up the middle, does not take a punch very well, and has been wrestled before, but has some pretty good jiu-jitsu off his back when he gets there. Charles Jourdain, on the other hand, very powerful striker, also a good jiu-jitsu artist when the fight gets there, but not necessarily a wrestler. But you know, he is coming off of a couple of submission victories, if I'm not mistaken. I remember him submitting Ricardo Ramos. Yep. And then beat up Cron Gracie. Yeah. So, I mean, the dude, is, you know, pretty well-rounded everywhere, but I think his power and his, strike selection on the feet is really where he butters his bread. He also builds as the fight goes on, similar to Chris Curtis, as we were talking about. So I think he's going to get it done against Sean Woodson. Sean Woodson is, in my opinion, just very awkward and strange, And Jourdain has dealt with that style very well against Lando Venata, against Ricardo Ramos. You know, the list goes on against Cron Gracie. Jourdain has had some great success against guys that are a little more unorthodox. So I'm going to go with Jourdain in this matchup. Again, the Canadian on Canadian territory. I think he might be able to use that crowd energy to get him going. You're going to go with the Canadian on this one as well, Jourdain?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, I mean, you got Jourdain, it's right there. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, like
you
I
got...
said, I've noticed in the last couple fight cards when it seems to be in another country and they go heavy on it, they are trying to, you know, the UFC is a business.
They want the crowd to have fun.
Yeah, they want to send the crowd home happy. So I think it's just a safe strategic bet to go with them. Obviously, with the ones that aren't there, you know, I've got to make a decision like we did with the main event and co-main event. But everything else, I think it just seems like a much smarter decision to group them up and let them compound, if you will.
Yeah.
We're here to make money, man. We're here to make money, Chico Nation.
That's what we do, baby.
Yeah, make the smart decision. You want to bet with your heart? You go somewhere else. You go somewhere else.
Right. speaking from the guy who picked Arlovski and Johnny Walker last week. Yeah.
Hey, they're prospects, baby.
Yeah. I'm the one that picked those guys. But a couple other fights on this card that are pretty interesting. They got Jillian Robertson versus Pollyanna Viana. That's an interesting matchup that I think Jillian Robertson's going to be able to have some success on the ground against Viana, but Viana's going to have success on the feet. So a pretty good matchup there. I don't know who's going to win. I'll probably go with the Canadian and Robertson. And then you got Johan Lennis versus Sam Patterson. And what is my opinion, the easiest fight to predict on this card, I think Sam Patterson cannot take a punch very well. I think he's too big for welterweight. He's very long and lanky, and it looks like he cuts a lot of weight to get there. We saw him get chinned by the Israeli in his last fight. I forget the guy's name. It was like Yamil Charbos or something like that. He's fighting Johan Lennis now, and Johan Lennis hits very hard. He's a bit of an older fighter, but he still has that pop in his hands for sure. You know, they say power is the last thing to go. And I'm going to go with Lennis to find that chin of Patterson early and get the knockout. We got Jasmine Jazzu Davikius versus Priscilla Cachoeira. This is a fight that Jasmine should certainly win. She should be able to wrestle Priscilla down. She should be able to beat her up from the top position. But Priscilla hits very hard, so she's always a live dog. Jasmine has never had trouble as far as it comes with the, with the durability or anything like that. And she's been able to out-wrestle women as strong as Miranda Maverick. So I'm going to have to go with Jasmine here. I think she's the more well-rounded fighter. I think she's going to get it done. Also Canadian. And then we got Malcolm Gordon versus Jimmy Flick. And this is a pretty interesting matchup, man. Malcolm X Gordon, solid striker. Pretty decent on the ground when it gets there. But, more so than anything, likes to keep the fight on the feet and kind of pot shot. He has had a kind of a rough go here at flyweight in the UFC, and it's been a while since we've seen him fight. And he draws Jimmy Flick, who is a absolute wild man. The guy has thrown flying triangles. He throws up all kinds of crazy submissions from his guard. And on the feet, he seems a little bit, susceptible to the boxing. So I think this is a favorable matchup for Gordon if the fight stays on the feet. But if Flick can get it down or, force Gordon to take a shot in a strange position with the pressure and the volume, I think Flick can catch a submission very easily here. So I don't know who to pick in that fight, but I think it's a very exciting matchup. So I definitely want to watch for sure. Let's get into the betting slip portion of the card. Jourdain, who you got on this card?
All right, so I'm going to be taking Strickland money line. I think he gets it done, and you have Ann Still over there. I think you can have Raquel get it done and give us the feel-good story coming out of Toronto. I'm going with Death Taxes and Neil Magny by decision, though I am still going to have him a lot in my Canadian round robin just in case. Got Arnold by decision, and I'm going to go ahead and wrap that all up. All the Canadians up in a nice little round robin and see how they can do for me. Maybe they pull off. I forget what other country it was. I think it was Brazil or
I think it was Canada.
Yeah, I think it was Canada. I think it was Canada. They went perfect. So hey, maybe Canada can keep that hot streak going. I'd love to see it. So that's my betting slip. What you got, Hoos?
I'm going to go Strickland over 2.5. I think he's either going to get a late knockout or a decision victory. I'm going to go with Mara Buenasova money line. I'm going to go with Mike Malott by finish. I'm going to go Chris Curtis by knockout. I'm going to go Arnold Allen by decision. And then on the prelims, I think I'll take Katona, Jourdain, and Robertson, along with Lanice, for a nice little Canadian parlay. I'll probably round robin those people together as well. And yeah, I think that's where I'll stop it there. For the main card, certainly my strongest picks, I think Allen, I think Curtis, and Lanice versus Patterson. I think that's like where I'll lay down like a 25 spot on those three dudes alone. But yeah, man, we'll see how it shakes out. It's going to be an interesting fight card for sure, and I'm excited to see how the main event plays out because both of those guys are killers and don't like each other. So thank you so much for listening, y'all. It's been a pleasure. You know, we're dressed up. You know, we got our collars on, baby.
We going professional over here. We owe you better. That's what's at.
Yeah. Well, you know, the sweatshirt era is over. Welcome to the dress shirt era, baby. Let's go. Thank you so much for listening, y'all. And enjoy the fights on Saturday, man. This is going to be a good one. I think there's a lot of really exciting matchups here. So thanks for listening. And let's get the spread, y'all. Take it easy.